Alabama front office.
We'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight. You know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seip.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nice, it pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Football Wednesday. We have those in the offseason, too, as we keep rolling along here with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are so pleased that you've chosen to join us as we continue to break down this team's 2011 performance. That's what's going on over these next couple of days. You know, of course, tomorrow at Berea here, we will have the president of the team, Mike Holmgren, the general manager, Tom Heckert, addressing the media, doing their State of the Browns addresses, and that'll be fascinating stuff to listen to tomorrow. We'll also have both on this show tomorrow night. Tonight, we hear from DeQuell Jackson, the standout linebacker, one of the great stories of this 2011 season. How about that? The comeback that he had, the consistently strong play that he offered. I mean, the guy was tremendous this year and a tackling machine and really got noticed not just here in Cleveland but throughout the league for his standout play, and very tough for him. Wears his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, takes this very hard, and you can imagine just the feelings he has after this season of disappointment in terms of one loss record. But individually, he did very well coming back after those two injury-riddled seasons that he dealt with. So we're going to hear from DeQuell Jackson. We're going to take a look at the quarterback position. This will be the first. We're going to do this over the next couple of weeks. Look at individual positions in a review format. And Terry Pluto, the columnist for one of the sports columnists for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, is going to join us for the first time on this show to take a look at that and kind of break down how things look with Colt McCoy, the position in general. So we'll hear from him. We'll also break down the quarterback position from 2011 by the numbers. Matt Florjancic will be aboard with us to help in that process. And we take your questions, of course, at the official Browns Facebook and Twitter pages. Got this from Twitter, at Bavery1031, asks, I noticed that the Browns dropped fewer passes in the last three games of this season. What was different? I would say the difference was just a fuller sense of concentration, greater emphasis on hanging on to the football, particularly by Greg Little. And, yeah, he was shut out of catches in the last game, but I noticed in practice, and not only just with Greg Little, the other receivers as well, just more focus, just more work on the jugs machine, just more concentration and time. And it was interesting listening to Carlton Mitchell as he was getting ready and cleaning out for his offseason, taking some extra footballs with him, has a jugs machine waiting for him in his offseason home, and was planning to catch a lot of passes this offseason at home. That's the approach. That's the mentality in general that I think helped reduce those. Okay, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation with standout middle linebacker for the Cleveland Browns, DeQuell Jackson. Stick around. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, by the way, on this Motown Wednesday. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, Stone.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns Stadium and the Browns Training Facility have just the right spaces to help make your next private event a masterpiece. The Browns offer up to 30 unique and inviting venues that can make your wedding, bar and bat mitzvah, holiday party, prom, or other social or corporate event a success. For more information on how you can host your next private event with the Browns, call 440-824-6162 or visit clevelandbrowns.com.
January. NTB starts the year with their annual warehouse clearance sale. NTB, starting the year with one of their biggest sales of the year. NTB, one of America's largest tire companies, with the purchase of one-year alignment and premium installation, will save you 50% off regular retail price on select name brand tires. Select Yokohama, Pirelli, and Cooper. Buy two, get two. That's 50% off. I said select name brand tires. Pay for two tires, get two tires free. While supplies last, NTB's put hundreds of thousands of tires on sale. On sale where you can save 50% while supplies last. Don't make the mistake of missing this sale. NTB's warehouse clearance won't happen again for a whole year. Phone 1-800-NEW-TIRE for your nearest NTB.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Motown Wednesday edition of a Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment, this conversation with Browns middle linebacker DeQuell Jackson, it's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. So pleased to welcome Browns linebacker DeQuell Jackson to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. DeQuell, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Glad you have me.
Well, we're looking back, I guess, big picture, first of all, on the 2011 season. And I know it had to be frustrating because you want to see progress. Four wins doesn't reflect that from a five-win season last year. And I know there was a lot of hope of this every year, hope of it being a playoff season or much better than that. But to have that kind of year, what's your general thought on what the 2011 season was all about?
Yeah, I think for the most part, this has been a unique situation. You know, from starting from top to bottom with Mike Holmgren being the president, Pat Shurmur being the new head coach. You know, you have guys like Ray Rose, Dick Geron, you know, my position coach, Billy Davis. They were one time, you know, head coaches or coordinators at one point. And so it's a lot of instant credibility in this building. So, you know, it hadn't been like that in years past. So right away, you know, it grabs players' attention that, you know, we know what we're doing. You know, this year, was like I said, it's been a unique situation where, you know, we had a lot of young guys play early. And a lot of young guys, they play far beyond their expectations. You know, defensively, you know, with Jabal Sheer, Phil Taylor, those guys had tremendous years, in my opinion. They're moving in the right direction. But, you know, yeah, it was a disappointing season. You want to translate the effort and the way you prepare each week, you know, into wins. But it didn't happen. But, I've been here long enough to know where, you know, you're so close. You're so close to winning and losing. And, yeah, we're on the losing side this year, but, you know, they easily change here and there or play here and there would completely change the season around and for the fans, you know, something to look forward to.
And, DeQuell, a lot was made of the lack of an off season, a new head coach coming in your case, a new defensive coordinator, new scheme, and
a lot was made that this would be a challenge and how difficult it was. But then I guess the more that's said, the more people start saying, ah, that's just an excuse. And then they point to a San Francisco with a first-year head coach or other teams that perform better. But in fact, it was a challenge. It was difficult. Just if you could break down how hard it was maybe from your standpoint or the defense as a whole to get acclimated with a new coordinator and his new system and philosophy without working with him in the offseason.
Yeah, and our division is unique. You know, we have, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals, and Baltimore Ravens, they're a veteran group, you know, and with the lockout looming and no OTAs, no mini camps, there's a type of rapport that you build with the players and the coaches. In our situation, being a first-time head coach, that part of the game is necessary. I really feel like it's necessary, and we missed out on that. Not only us, but a lot of other teams around the league. So when it was able to, you know, when the season actually started, you know, it took us some time to actually get familiar with coaches get familiar with players and what scheme we were running. You know, we were, you know, a lot of other teams were behind the eight ball in a sense of, you know, having guys up to speed of what they were doing, what the game plan was, how we wanted to affect, you know, our game plan each and every week. And with a new head coach and a new staff, you know, you bring in new players. So it takes time to gel. And for the most part, you know, I've been here where teams have been, you know, you want to win every game and you don't feel like you have the guys around in the locker room to get it done. But this is a unique situation where we do have the guys that can get it done. It's the matter of us executing in the fourth quarter and making plays when we need to.
And the other thing, as you say, is just getting to know the people who are coaching you from the head coach on down. There's something to that, kind of knowing. I mean, I know in the NFL, the expectation is the highest standard. You're a professional, and you don't necessarily need anybody to tell you that specifically. One coach to the next, it's all the same expectation. But specifically, I think getting to know them is important, isn't it? And knowing what, in certain situations, what they can sort of anticipate that you'll do and what you'll anticipate them doing.
Oh, it's definitely important. You know, just, you know, I was just speaking with Dick Geron, and the way he goes about preparing each week and what he calls throughout the course of a game, I feel like he doesn't have to say anything. I feel like I can make the calls. I have a handful of calls where I feel like he would make them. And a lot of times I am right, and we bounce things off each other. You know, that one year that we have passed us right now, 4-12 is tough to swallow. I'm not going to lie. I hate losing. You know, we put a lot into it. But, you know, like I've said, you know, we have, you know, I have to be optimistic. We have a lot of good guys in this locker room, a lot of good leaders. You know, we have a year under our belt now. Now we know who we are as a team. You know, with those tough games, you know, we battled to the end. You know, the effort was never an issue. It was, can we translate this effort into wins? And, you know, with the young guys that we have playing, they understand, they have a year under their belt. You know, you get better in this league with experience. You know, you start to experience, you know, ways not to lose rather than losing. So that's going to be a big emphasis this year, you know, with me dealing with some of the young guys on the defense side of the ball, because, you know, we will only be as good as we are individually, as much as how much time we put into trying to, you know, better ourselves. And collectively, it'll translate into wins. It'll translate into a better team, a better defense, and a better offense.
Browns linebacker DeQuell Jackson joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. For you individually, I know, again, it's about the wins, and there is great frustration in a four-win season, but after those two injury shutdown seasons that you had prior to this year, and for you to come back from that and have the year you did where you were just really phenomenal in terms of being everywhere, making the tackles, and being a consistent game-in and game-out contributor, there had to be an incredible level of satisfaction. I can't even think of what must have been going through your mind to at least individually know, you know, hey, once I stay healthy, this is the player I can be.
Yeah, it was that game you played with in your mind. You know, you work so hard to get back. And when you're finally back, you know, you don't think about your past injuries. It's, okay, let's keep my head down for 17 weeks. Let's do everything I possibly can. So in my own mind, you know, I can feel like, I've arrived. I am that same person who I was before the injuries. And it was a week-to-week process with me, you know, making the week one all the way to week 17. You know, I can remember, you know, before heading out for the last game of the season, you know, I was nervous. I was nervous, just as nervous as I was in the first game coming back. So it was that anticipation of me finally having a year under my belt where I can kind of wipe my head and like, you know what? I made it through the season healthy, no setbacks with my pecs. You know, it was definitely a blessing, and it was a great feeling to have.
And the other thing is the linebacking core as a whole went through some challenges, certainly with Scott Fujita's broken hand that shortened his season, the movement that you had to have, and different injuries that had Chris Gokong eventually ending up on the strong side for Scott, and then having Kaluka Maeva move into the starting lineup on the weak side. Those transitions, overall, it looked like that group weathered it pretty well.
Yeah, we have a smart group. We got a smart group that understands the game, and we work well together. And it all starts with Billy Davis, you know, who's the ex-coordinator. So he taught us a lot in that building, a lot in our linebacker room. And, you know, we have to be interchangeable. You know, you have to pay attention to what the other guy next to you is doing, because you never know. You know, I may have a sprained ankle for a game or two, or, you know, a situation with Scott Fujita, you know, Kaluk, you know, with his hand situation. You know, guys get banged up throughout the course of a season. And so, you know, with our young guys, we had to, you know, we had a lot of young guys in our room play. So, and it's important that, you know, if you're lining up next to a veteran guy, including myself, I need to trust that you know what you're doing, and I need to trust that you're going to do it 110 miles an hour. So it was a good group to have, a good, you know, for the young guys, good experience to go through it, because you never know, you may be in the line of fire, you know, as quick as you anticipate.
As we look ahead, there is a lot of good young people on this defense. When we think about Joe Hayden and TJ Ward from last year, of course TJ misses more than half this year with injury, but he'll come back healthy. And then the two kids from this year's draft, and Jabal Sheard and Phil Taylor, their contributions they made, all encouraging stuff. As you look at the big picture, though, defensively and offensively, what kind of outlook should people have for this Browns team in 2012, and how confident are you that things are going to make dramatic improvement next year?
Yeah, there's no secret in this league. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's an offensive-driven league. And you have to score points. You know, you have to score points, and you have to stop people from scoring. And so, you know, and you can't, the plus and minus ratio, you have to be able to be a plus five, plus six, plus seven to be able to win ball games, give yourself a chance. I think a lot of times this year what happened, we shot ourselves in the foot, you know, with bad turnovers or costly penalties when we shouldn't have them. You know, it was a combination of a group that's trying to familiarize themselves with, you know, what's going on, whether it's the young guys. We had a lot of young guys play this year along with coaches. So, you know, it was a collective effort from everyone, but it was definitely a stepping stone in what we're trying to achieve here. Next year, I firmly believe we should be in the playoffs with the group we have here, and it's about time we start talking about it. You know, for so long it's been, you know, let's just beat Pittsburgh. We have great fans around this in Ohio, and they deserve a right to see us, you know, be successful. You know, they've been waiting a long time, and it's about time that we show them that we can do it.
Great stuff. DeQuell, thank you so much, and I wish you nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you.
All right, Browns linebacker DeQuell Jackson joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local Lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the Lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup Wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Do you want to lose all your money? Well, I've got some bad news for you. The stock market is a rigged game, and it's rigged against you. What Wall Street doesn't want you to know is that there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth. The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork. Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage, and you'll want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%. APR 3.5%. Take a few minutes out of your busy day. Call Quicken Loans at 800-401-0027. That's 800-401-0027. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Mortgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, this is Bernie Kosar, and you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's one of our regulars, of course, Bernie. He'll be with us tomorrow as well. Big day tomorrow as we hear the state of the Browns from Team President Mike Holmgren, General Manager Tom Heckert. They'll address the media about 11 a.m. tomorrow, and then both will join us right here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube, and this segment, it too, is driven by Liberty Ford. Very happy to welcome to the show columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Terry Pluto. Terry, welcome to the show for your first appearance, and I hope many more.
I hope so too, Vic.
So the topic today is quarterbacks and reviewing that position for the Browns. But we know the story about Colt McCoy's season ending short of a full season. Was there enough for you to assess where you think he is and what do you think of his future with this team?
You know, Vic, when people say, well, he's not an elite quarterback, it's always like he's being compared to like Mr. X out there. Tell me who the person is. Yeah, if the Browns get a chance to take Andrew Luck, okay, I've got that. But then after that, it gets very interesting. To me, I did talk to an executive, and I used this in my notes a couple of weeks ago, where he said, you know, the AFC North is a special place. It's perhaps the hardest place for a quarterback to survive, because generally you'll have the three teams the Browns play will probably be in the top 10 in defense.
Right.
And this year they're in the top 6. Secondly, you do have the bad weather. They tend to put those games towards the end, and you have the bad weather. And thirdly, it's a league, or I'm sorry, a division with kind of these big, strong quarterbacks. I mean, Flacco and and Roethlisberger, and even Dalton is not a small guy at all. These are, you know, pretty good physical specimens. And he said that's one of the things when you look at Colt, you say, well, you know, he doesn't exactly fit the mold of the NFC, I'm sorry, the AFC North quarterback. Now, can he overcome that with some things? Maybe, but I think that when you have a guy like that, you may say, all right, this year with the fourth pick, the quarterback isn't there, so we'll take Blackman or whoever we like.
Right, right.
And we'll work with this guy. But I think you'll always be kind of looking for something better. But I also think that's probably the case with about 20 teams in the NFL, Vic.
No question. And you know, you bring up a good point about the physical attributes that you want to see, because the other, clearly, the other quarterbacks in the division are bigger guys, are more, I mean, especially Ben Roethlisberger, certainly Joe Flacco fits that, and I would say Andy Dalton to a certain degree. Carson Palmer, you know, had that prototype as well. And it was done clearly with the idea, as you say, of dealing with the conditions, dealing with the defenses. But I also think your guy has to be the right fit for what you're doing schematically. And the interesting part of this discussion will be what the Browns offense looks like, I would think, first and foremost, because of what Pat Shurmur said with regard to finding an offensive coordinator who, quote, speaks the language. He wants to stay consistent with what he believes in, but I think it's every bit as important that the quarterback knows that language cold, and I'm guessing that some of the problem in 2011 for Colt McCoy was still some learning to be done there.
Now, you know, the Colt defense is a couple things. Number one, this is probably the third offense in 3 years for him. He had one in Texas, one with Daboll, and one here. So that's number one. You know, number two, the receivers, for the most part, whether you want terrible, awful, the best thing you could do is say, no, and then they had a mediocre game. It was really a bad situation.
Right.
I'm not sure what happened to the tight ends being a bigger part of the offense like they were a year ago, but they kind of got lost in the situation, be it injuries or... So those are all things there. But, you know, you look at Colt McCoy, and I'm always like, he's okay. And okay is just that. Then it depends on what he has around him. I don't think he's a guy that's going to mess up a bunch of games. I'd much rather have Colt McCoy than Derek Anderson, for example.
Sure.
I'd much rather have Colt McCoy than Brady Quinn.
Yep.
You know, Derek Anderson can mess up a game in a heartbeat. Brady Quinn was a very inaccurate passer. So, you know, it's better than that. But as I said before, you'll always be looking. But I do not want to do one of these things where I'm taking every draft pick I've ever had in my life and trying to, you know, move up and get a quarterback just to save me. Because, Vic, when you're at like 30th in the league in yards of 20 yards or more, that's not just the quarterback. There's a whole lot of problems.
Right.
And so I guess that's where I'm at. It depends on how they view it. But if you don't take a quarterback, then that number four pick has got to be the home run hitter at whatever position they take him.
Absolutely. And again, to go back to what Pat Shurmur said in his season wrap-up news conference, there was no clear ringing endorsement that Colt's the guy. I don't think he could do that at this point. He also didn't say he wouldn't be the guy, and the door's open for him to ultimately have this job for 2012. But I do get a sense that this offseason not only will in order be devoted to finding the right offensive coordinator who would have a big role in the development of said quarterback, and then two, what you can get if it's not in the draft, then maybe through free agency to augment the position and find out if you have a reason for a real competition, and B, if Colt's the kind of guy who would become better because of that, can you push? Is there something to be pushed there that would convince this coaching staff or convince Pat Shurmur especially that he's at least the right guy for the short term, and maybe the answer for the next term is still not on this team, because as you said, with the fourth pick or maybe a later pick, are you really getting a quarterback that you can wrap yourself around for a long time? And when you go down that road, That is a road that has fits and starts and growing pains and all that stuff everybody hates.
I mean, the other thing is when you take the fourth pick, it's a quarterback, and that guy is not really a dynamic player. You can't use him on special teams. You can't turn him, change positions. I mean, he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's always the nice thing. Say that's why they like to take a defensive back or, you know, some sort of player alignment.
Mm-hmm.
You could move him around. You could get something out of this guy.
Right.
And that so there's a concern. I, you know, with so much dwelling on the quarterback, I do think I'll tell you, I was very impressed at Pat Shurmur's, I thought, humility and honesty at the press conference when it came to the coordinator. I didn't like the thought process. Well, I didn't get the perfect guy, so I'm not going to have somebody. He was asking for a lot of, you know, one of the things they say when you study business management, Vic, is when you get promoted, the biggest temptation is to do your old job and your new job. And oftentimes you don't do either one particularly well because it's too much to do. For example, when Phil Savage was here and became general manager, it was so hard for Phil not to be out on the road 2 to 3 days a week. He was doing his old job and his new job. And so I think that's what Pat fell a little bit in the trap of that. Now, the good thing is obviously at some point in the season pretty early he figured out that was going on. And rather than just say, Mark Whipple, you're the coordinator for the rest of this year, he took the hit because he knew that that coordinator was going to get killed anyway in the media. So he took it. And I like the fact that he is open to, if the right coordinator comes in, he wants to call plays and can do it, let him call plays.
Right.
And I think he sees the benefit now of the job as a, like he called it, an overseer, you know, mm-hmm. look down on here. And, you know, he made a comment to me, too, about, or to all of us, rather, about being tired, that, you know, when you do things, and he right. kind of said it in a joking way, but I think that's very true.
Oh, a lot of hours.
Doing two jobs leads to too many hours, and, you know, we make mistakes when we are tired. The last thing you want to do is go into game day when you have your head in five different places, and I think that I understand 8 or 9 coaches do it, and probably 5 do it pretty well. But a whole bunch of coaches don't do it. I mean, Bill Belichick never called plays on offense or defense,
right.
you know, just to
right.
be, he's big a control freak as they are. So I liked how he was moving, though, in the
yeah.
direction of learning on the job, where he kept saying, look, I always want to win games,
yeah.
and I'm willing to change to win games.
So if delegating is the way to do that, then that's the way to do it. Terry Pluto, columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Terry, as we also talk about the quarterback position, as far as its relationship with the rest of the offense, it is vital, whoever that player is, A, that he does get some people to throw to. That's a big incomplete part of what this team needs to address in some way, shape, or form. We can, you know, I think it's fair to count on Greg Little making improvements.
Yes.
So I think that's somewhat of a given. But there are Josh Cribbs, you know, gives you something, but he doesn't give you that guy. I don't think that you can regularly say that's a number one or a number two, not a number one, but a number two guy even. But where are the rest of the people going to come from? And I would have to think that's drafting, that's free agency. And the tight end position, I'm pretty satisfied. I don't know what Ben Watson's future is going to be, but there's got to be something there with Evan Moore that's promising, and Jordan Cameron. Mm-hmm. I would think there are ways, maybe schematically, to get the tight ends more involved.
Well, hopefully if you improve your right tackle spot, that will enable you to let that tight end be a little bit more of a receiver. You don't have to play two tight ends and all that extra protection. And, you know, Josh Cribbs is big-time special teams.
Right.
And I believe he ended up with 4 or 5 more tackles on special teams than anybody else. And he didn't even go on until like the 4th or 5th game.
Right, right.
After they gave up that one return. So it just shows how valuable he is.
And Pat commended his toughness,
yeah.
and rightfully
and
so.
And people who want to dump on Cribbs. I mean, look, Josh speaks from the heart. It's not always the smartest thing when we speak from the heart. But he's there, as you
yep.
said. One thing, you know, he's never been afraid to play the Steelers. You go back, always that. He gets that game.
Yep.
He revels in the contact. And again, he is an AFC North player because
right.
of that. So
right.
I would just really I was pleased to hear that, and I think they're going to make a concerted effort to go out and get a guy like Dick Charron to the defense for the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
mm-hmm.
it's an older guy, maybe had some head coaching experience, been around the block, and a guy that also, obviously, that Pat has a good relationship sure. and good trust. But because that way, if you bring in a younger guy and have him call plays, well, then the temptation for Pat will be to want to call plays because he's been doing it the last few years.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest things you saw was the growth of the defense. You know, they changed schemes. They brought in a bunch of new guys. Frankly, they didn't have a lot of depth. They had some nice players, but there wasn't right. a lot of depth.
No.
I mean, Kaluka Maeva was playing a whole lot more than he was ever intended. I remember when Eric Mangini told me we were drafting, goes, I took him because he was captain of the special teams at USC, and I thought, you know, if I get 10, 15 snaps a game at linebacker filling in, that's fine, because remember, he was playing the 3-4.
Right.
He said, but he was never intended, you know, to be a regular in a 4-3, because
right.
he was praising, when I talked to Eric recently, he was saying, yeah, anyways, my guy Kaluka, it's one of those few draft choices that worked out, but give him credit, my guy Kaluka was really helping.
Yeah.
And and part of it, too, I think, was, again, he's put in positions to succeed.
Another tool in the toolbox that has to be utilized and that the Browns were counting on was Brandon Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they brought him aboard from Green Bay for the express purpose of really being that receiver out of the backfield, that added dimension and that difference-making player who can do some things to the defense to account for him. They never really had that. I mean, Chris Obanaya, to some degree, had the skill set, but not, I don't, clearly maybe not as accomplished as Jackson or enough to for this offense to invest in that. And Peyton Hillis, we know, can be a receiver out of the backfield, but still not that special speed to take it to the outside. That's not where you want him at his best. So losing Jackson to that toe injury for the season was a blow that we assume now he'll be back and ready. And having that dimension, I think, can help a quarterback be that much more effective, as well as, obviously, an offensive coordinator to work those kinds of plays.
Well, Jackson will help. You still have to have a guy, though, Vic, and that when they do a play fake, that the defense actually pays attention to it.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's going to be, that'll be running back Mr. X.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I don't think Peyton's going to come back. You can't count the hardest. You just can't. And if he comes, that's a bonus. I think we also learned here this year, you can't have enough running backs. I remember I criticized the Browns for not adding another lineman. This is before Pashos got hurt or anything else. But I remember I said, at least they got a lot of depth at running back, because between Hillis, Jackson, and Hardesty, even to start a training camp, you figure, well, at least you'll have two of them.
Sure.
And he had none of them for a while.
Right.
And that sometimes there is bad luck comes into play. And so I'd be curious to see what they do with running back, because it is Jackson and Mr. X and Hardesty, then you've got something going, especially if Mr. X has got some speed.
Well, we'll see where it all starts again with that quarterback position as well. And Terry, I thank you so much for joining me to help break it down. And again, we'll have you back on.
Anytime, Vic.
Terry Pluto, fine columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Vermilion.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Hey, sports fans. Bernie Kosar here for Discount Drug Mart with a shopping experience that finally pays you back. Earn pro points today for your Discount Drug Mart Courtesy Plus card for Drug Mart cash or free Cleveland Browns merchandise. It's simple, fun, and rewarding. Only at Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. You can earn your experiences money just can't buy.
You'll find everything you need.
This is Jim Swayze. You know how every prediction seems to be followed by a suggestion like, it'll probably rain, better not wash the car. So when I heard they're predicting an exceptionally cold winter, I suggested to Jenny that we head to Half Price Books and stock up on some great cozy up-to-the-fire reads. But it's downright chilly. It's right down to Half Price Books for us. Around our house, stacks of seasoned wood and seasonal books pile up faster than all our New Year's resolutions. And when the kids come in from the cold, some hot cider and a wonderland of warm stories do the trick. They love Half-Price Books. There's just something about real books. Thumbing through the pages, peeking to see how close you're getting to the end, it gets you as wrapped up as a cat in a quilt. And when almost everything's half price or less, the whole family can really stock up for the winter. Half-Price Books. Real books, real treasures, real cheap. In North Olmsted, Mayfield Heights, Mentor, and Rocky River. Find out more or drop me a note on the blog at hpb.com.
And we thank you for spending this portion of your Wednesday, our Motown Football Wednesday, right here with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Browns fans, deposits for 2012 season tickets and club-level memberships are now being accepted. To place your deposit today, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this Quarterback by the Numbers segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Now we're going to take a look at some quarterbacking numbers from the Browns 2011 season. And helping me to do that is Matt Florjancic, staff writer for clevelandbrowns.com. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Vic.
All right, so Matt, let's take a look with Colt McCoy in his 13 starts before suffering that concussion, missing the rest of the year. The numbers that he put up in general were, I think as I look at them, positive from the standpoint of more touchdowns than interceptions, 14 to 11. But overall, how would we gauge where this season is in the course of his young career?
I think we're still learning a little bit about Colt, the quarterback. We know about Colt, the football player, how tough he is and how strong he is when he is a leader in the huddle. But still, there are some questions to what he can do getting the ball out quicker, what he can do with a more developed wide receiver core, because he was throwing to probably the youngest wide receiver core that the Browns have had in quite a while. But
right.
Still, the young man did a good job completing 265 of 463 passes for 2,733 yards. You're looking at a guy that could easily have thrown for over 3,000 yards had he been healthy for a complete season. And that would have been a good benchmark for Colt McCoy to reach after only starting eight games in 2010.
And you mentioned about being healthy for a full season or having a quarterback under center for the Browns or behind center for the Browns for a full season. That hasn't happened in a while.
No, it hasn't. When you look back at the years, it's been a long while since the Browns have last started a quarterback for all 16 games. How long? A decade. 2001,
wow.
Tim Couch was the last quarterback to start all 16 games in a season for the Browns. They went 7-9 that year with Couch under center. He completed 272 passes for over 3,000 yards and 17 touchdowns, and that laid the foundation for a playoff run that Couch helped engineer in 2002 when he completed almost 3,000 yards worth of passes for 18 touchdowns. But unfortunately, he didn't get to play the full season either. He played all 16 games of the regular season and started all 16 games, but he was injured in that last game against the Atlanta Falcons and was not able to play in the playoff game.
And in Colts 13 starts this year. That's the most by a quarterback since Derek Anderson in 2007.
Yeah, Anderson made 15 starts in what turned out to be a Pro Bowl year for him. He didn't win the quarterback competition in camp. Charlie Fry was the number one guy going into that season. He lasted a total of less than a half of football against the Pittsburgh Steelers and was sent away to the Seattle Seahawks early the next week. Anderson took over the starting job, turned it into a Pro Bowl season. But when you look back at the past for the Browns, 2008, they were riddled by injuries at quarterback. Anderson made 9 starts. Brady Quinn made 3, as did Ken Dorsey. And then Bruce Gradkowski made the final start of the year when pretty much everybody on the roster at quarterback was on IR previously. In 2009, it was Quinn and Anderson battling it out, splitting it 9-7 in favor of Quinn. And in 2010, both Jake DeLome and Seneca Wallace made 4 starts before McCoy got his 8. And it was just been an injury-plagued position for the Browns for a long time. And last year it was a high ankle sprain. All 3 quarterbacks ended up with one throughout the year.
Taking a look at quarterback by the numbers with Matt Florjancic, ClevelandBrowns.com staff writer. And as much as we talk about the issues with the receiving core that were problematic for Colt McCoy, or certainly didn't enhance the performance of the passing game, you also look at protection, and obviously with an offensive line in flux, in transition, with young people in the middle, Jason Pinkston, Sean Laval, with Tony Pashos battling some health issues, ankle especially, at that right tackle spot, it made Colt McCoy especially, and we know how his season ended with a concussion, although that wasn't a straight-up protection issue, but that was a guy who was moving out of pocket and then gets ready to throw and gets smashed by James Harrison in that Pittsburgh game. But overall, Colt McCoy took some punishment.
32 sacks for 173 lost yards. It's the most sacks that the Browns have given up on a single quarterback since Charlie Fry in 2006, when he was sacked 44 times for over 250 lost yards. I tell you what, though, Colt stood in there and really took some punishment, like you said, showed his toughness. And I think a couple of times Greg Little pointed out the fact that toughness is not a surprise with Colt McCoy because he's a Texas guy, and you expect a Texas guy to be tough. Well, Colt definitely lived up to that reputation. He took some shots. He battled some injuries. And it's a credit to him and his mental toughness, too, because it's not easy to come back week in, week out, consistently play against one of the most physical defenses in the league, in the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, but he did it. And that's a credit to him. His offensive line, they got better, though, as the year went on. That's the thing. The 2 guards were still young. They had 1 start and 10 combined games of NFL experience going into the season, all that belonging to Sean Laval in his second year. And then rookie Jason Pinkston really came along between 2 Pro Bowlers and Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. And like you said, Pashos with the ankle. Really not much you can do about that. Just hope that he can produce for you. And Tony did a good job facing some of the best edge rushers that you're going to find.
Now, in general, and under Pat Shurmur in his first year as a head coach, bringing his West Coast offense to the Browns, the Browns showed progress, improvement in their passing numbers.
That's the thing. It doesn't look pretty when you look at the numbers, but when you compare them to what the Browns have done in the past, it is really good. It was the most completions. They completed 320 passes since 2002, when Couch, Kelly Holcomb, and Kevin Johnson combined to complete 338 passes. 570 attempts were the most since 1990, when Bernie Kosar, Mike Pagel, and Jeff France through 573 pass attempts. Touchdowns were up, too. They had 16 touchdowns as a group combined between Seneca Wallace and Colt McCoy, and that was the most since 29 touchdowns in the Pro Bowl year of 07. The yards were up, 3,300 yards total for the Browns quarterbacks. That was the most since 2007, when Anderson, Fry, and Quinn combined for nearly 4,000 yards. And the key stat, though, well, I look at the numbers and say, wow, they made improvements in a lot of areas. The biggest improvement was made in interceptions. It was the lowest total since 1991. The Browns had 13 interceptions this season, and the lowest since then was 91, like I said, with Kosar and Todd Filcox. They combined for just 10 interceptions in a year when the Browns finished 6-10. So overall, the numbers were looking up, and this is definitely a solid foundation to build on when you consider how young the Browns were at quarterback and how young their targets were at wide receiver.
Great stuff, Matt. Appreciate it. And we will continue with you as we go by the numbers with our positional reviews through the rest of this week and into next week.
Thank you very much, Vic. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit LibertyFord.com.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to EA.com/MaddenNFL.
Cleveland starts here, every Sunday with the Browns. It starts with hard-nosed football. It's diehard loyalty, it's committing for the full 50. PNC is proud to be a sponsor of the Browns and a backer of every fan, like you, because you're part of the undeniable achievement that's happening right now in this great city. So whether it's a tailgate party or over 73,000 Browns fans, it all starts in Cleveland. PNC Bank, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association member, FDIC.
Attention, parents. If your son is 11 to 17 years old and exhibits oppositional or defiant behavior patterns, we want to prove that our best-selling child behavior program, The Total Transformation, will work for you. And we're willing to give it to you for free. For a limited time, we are offering the entire program free if you're the parent of an 11 to 17-year-old male child as part of a national market research project. If you're struggling with disrespect, backtalk, lying, school problems, or defiant behavior, you can get The Total Transformation free by calling 1-800-219-9664. Call now and find out how you can participate in this limited-time market research project. By sending in your results, you'll get our $300 child behavior program for free. Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-219-9664. 1-800-219-9664. That's 1-800-219-9664. 1-800-219-9664.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... That's so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Ink.
January. NTB starts the year with their annual warehouse clearance sale. NTB. Starting the year with one of their biggest sales of the year.
NTB, one of America's largest tire companies, with the purchase of one-year alignment and premium installation, will save you 50% off regular retail price on select name-brand tires.
Select Yokohama, Pirelli, and Cooper. Buy two, get two.
That's 50% off. I said select name-brand tires. Pay for two tires, get two tires free.
While supplies last, NTB's put hundreds of thousands of tires on sale. On sale where you can save 50% while supplies last.
Don't make the mistake of missing this sale. NTB's warehouse clearance won't happen again for a whole year.
Phone 1-800-NEW-TIRE for your nearest NTB.
We welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm going to go into the mailbag here from the Browns official Facebook page. Stacy asks, was Coach Shurmur pressured into the hire of an offensive coordinator? Why wait until the season is over to do it? Stacy, I don't think that's the case. I don't think this is a pressure move, and I think Pat Shurmur was being very honest and sincere when he said during his news conference and also on this show yesterday that this is something he wanted to do before last year, didn't find the perfect guy, or the guy at least he felt would be right for the spot and didn't feel that person was available then, but is going to make that search now and follow through with it. I also think, you know, it's not a matter of pressure from any outside source. I think, you know, internally, one of the things you do and you should do on any job after a year on it is figure out how you can do it better. And I think that was the case with this. It's time to take a look back at some of the great community outreach work that the Browns did this year. And helping us to do that is Renee Harvey, the Browns Director of Community Outreach. And Renee, so much went on in the 2011 season on this front. The Browns Foundation committing to education, I think that was one of the biggest themes throughout this whole year, was the team's involvement on that front.
You know, you're right. And, you know, it started off with our Marion Motley Scholarship, and we are very proud to recognize two individuals with those scholarships this year, Jasmine Shoemate and Shanice Floyd. They both had amazing stories, amazing applications, and the number of applications continue to increase every year, so we're very thrilled with that program. And those two individuals received those scholarships at the game on Sunday. In addition to that, our Touchdown for Reading program really seems to be taking off. This year we logged 3.2 million minutes of activity, so kids are really getting involved in the education program.
And youth football, and of course that would be something very near and dear to our hearts. Head coach at Lake Catholic High School, Mike Bell, was honored by this team.
Yes, he was. So each year of the high school season, we've had and been honoring our Coach of the Week recipients. And so we had all 10 of the high school coaches come out to the game on Sunday. And we're lucky enough to honor Coach Bell with recognition for the program this year and his work. Obviously, want to congratulate him on taking his team to the postseason for the eighth time in 10 years as a head coach. Great job by the team. 9-1 record this year. And he will receive $2,000 for his high school program.
Among the many other highlights of this season in community outreach, Renee, the corporate partnerships that we had, the involvement of players, staff, coaches, it was really a full buy-in by everybody. Of course, the Browns Women's Organization, always great, and it seemed that every one of these events had great attendance by our folks.
You know, we're really fortunate in all of those entities, as you mentioned, are heavily involved in the extension and the work done by each and every one of them, including our Browns backers. It's just been amazing, and, you know, our players alone, from the start of training camp to current, have volunteered over 430 hours, which is amazing. You know, they have a full schedule, and they still find it in their hearts to come out and volunteer for our community. So, you know, looking back, just done a lot of amazing work, you know, in the area of citizenship, one of our forward focus areas, with the work that we've done with the military. We had a live reunion this year. We worked with a fantastic organization called Pro vs. G.I. Joe. Great holiday programs with Salvation Army, and obviously our players got involved quite heavily as well. We talked about the educational programs, health and wellness, too, 3.2 million minutes of activity for our Play 60 initiative. We've built playgrounds, done all kinds of great things. And, you know, youth football alone, that area really continues to grow for us. 8 new initiatives this year, able to host the national 7-on-7 tournament, and the list goes on.
Right. Yeah, and it was a fantastic year in that regard. And looking ahead, what are some of the outreach efforts that we're going to have in front of us?
So, you know, obviously you can only look back so long and move on to the next year. And so we're very happy the calendar continues. We'll be doing some efforts for Black History Month. We'll be moving on to a local high school combine that we'll be hosting Future Stars Camp, which will take place at our draft party for 6- and 7-year-olds on the field. We also host a football festival for about 850 Special Olympic athletes from Cleveland School District. So we've got a lot on our plate, and there's really no off season in the community.
There really isn't. Not much rest for you and your group, although try to take a little bit if you would, please. All right, Renee, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Yes, and we have more questions to get to that you post for us on the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. I'd like to answer those. Rich via Facebook asks, since we play the Cowboys next year at Jerry's Stadium, do you think we'll be playing a Thanksgiving Day game? I think it's entirely possible, Rich, that could be a matchup. Don't know that there is any specific reason to think it would or wouldn't be the case. And a lot of those, again, this is a league-selected deal here. It's not something that the Browns or even the Cowboys have any influence over, but, you know, it's Thanksgiving Day, and frankly, the matchup itself, while there were more attractive ones this past Thanksgiving, I think, than we've seen in recent years, the audience is the audience. It's a captive deal, as we all know. It's football on a day when there's really nothing else that we want to watch on television, maybe other than a parade, and I'm not sure how many eyeballs that attracts. We go to Let's see. What else did we have on the question list here? Oh, I like this one. John asks, looking at the 2012 opponents, how many wins are you predicting, Vic? I'm saying 7. This is John saying 7, not me. John, I'm not going to give a prediction for win total in 2012, in January of 2012. Just not going to go there. Way, way, way too early. And I think it should be for you too. I mean, there's a lot of questions, and we covered it during the show tonight about, you know, where does the team go with the quarterback situation? Who is the quarterback? There's a competition between Colt McCoy and, you know, fill in the blanks. I mean, we really don't know what the future holds, and I think that's going to influence heavily what this team looks like. Who's playing running back? You know, that's another big issue. And by the way, we're going to break that position down on our show Friday. Terry asks, hey, Vic, can we get a Super Bowl prediction? Pre-playoffs, Packers-Steelers rematch? I'm going to hold firm. My preseason pick was Packers-Patriots. So I'm sticking with that one. I just think I think that Pat's offensive firepower, they've defied the whole notion that you got to have defense to win in this league. And I know the Steelers gave them one what for the first time around. But anyway, we want to thank DeQuell Jackson and Terry Pluto. We want to thank Pat McKenna for helping us out on the show, and our great producer, Dave DiNatale, also Matt Florjancic. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Your home for Lake Erie Monsters hockey is ESPN 850 WKNR and 1540 KNR2 Cleveland. The Lake Erie Monsters tied a season best, winning their third straight game last time out. Patrick